This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's Friday, October 16th, 2020, and it's the Relevant Podcast. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Austin, Texas, it's author, podcaster, Jamie Ivey.
Hey, guys.
Brand new author, again.
Thank you.
Author times, was this two?
Yeah.
Wow.
And awesome. From Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, mogul, who just dropped a new single I saw the other day, Derek Minor.
All right.
What happened with you released a new music video online,
yeah,
but a website like released it too early and then you had to like
that's not true. I just like making fun of Rapzilla all the time, so I just mess with them all the time. But yeah, no,
because you had it planned for a Friday drop. Like artists build it up, and then I saw like on a Wednesday you're like, well, Rapzilla just posted it, so here you go.
Nah. We were gonna release the video that time anyway, so it was all good. I always love picking with Rapzilla because everybody picks with him anyway. So, and I know those guys pretty well, so I pick with him.
So you shot that, and you were like in LA and stuff. So that was clearly pre-pandemic, right? When you made that video?
Yeah, bro. It literally was the week before California lockdown.
How does it feel like as an artist though? Like you're now late October releasing new music that you actually finished that back 6-8 months ago. We talked to Jamie about that. She wrote her book a year ago.
Yeah.
How does it feel as an artist? Is like you've evolved in that time. You've started, you've done new projects in that time. And I know for me, my next one is my best one. And as soon as like we're done with an issue of the magazine or something, I never look at it again. I'm always thinking about the next one. Like, what are we gonna do? I couldn't imagine finishing a project and then releasing it a year later. And I would hate it. I would never look at it. I would never listen to it. And you got to promote it. Is it really?
Nah. So the thing is, like with me, so I used to be like that because I'd be listening to the album the whole time up until the record came out. But now I kind of just finish stuff. Once it's mixed and mastered, it goes in the tank. And I'm done with it. Until it releases again. So then it becomes a little more fresh to me. Okay. So that's kind of what it is. I always try to focus on what I'm doing now. Because otherwise, you're right. You'll put it out and then you're like, all right, guys, I got this song. I hope you like it. You know what I
mean? Yeah. It's like, in my mind, it'd be like, it's stale. I'm doing better stuff now. I hope you like it, but I don't really like it. You know?
Yeah. So, you know, you gotta not give yourself, the main two things that kill artists is demo ear, where they listen to like the rough mix of the song for 6 months straight. And then when you actually make it sound good, they're like, it just doesn't sound right. It's like, because you've been listening to it with the vocals, you know, times 10, you know, and then also just not getting bored.
Yeah.
Jamie, how has it been like promoting a book message that you came up with 2 years ago?
It's weird because my friend Jenny told me when I released my first book, she's like, whatever you write, and this might be for music or whatever, she goes, whatever you write, be prepared to talk about it for 2 years. And you do. Like, I've been talking about it for like 3 months leading up to this, and then the book came out, and everyone's like, you got to still keep talking about this. Like, I'll be talking about this message for the next year. And I wrote it a year ago. I mean, it's crazy. It's weird.
That I have like a terrible memory, especially when it comes to anything I've like worked on. Like there's been times where like I want to reference something that I know I read and I'll pull up an old article from Relevant. I'll start reading it and I'm like, oh, this is really good. This is, you know, I'm like, I think I wrote this. It took me like 800 words to be like, no, dude, you wrote that like a year ago.
You wrote this. Like, yeah.
Jesse, that's a different beast though. The amount of content that you have created over the last 15 years. I mean, like, you were churning out, I'm going to go, you posted daily, you probably wrote 6 or 7 items that were all between 500 and 1,000 words every day, five days a week, 50 weeks a year for 15 years.
Well, and then all the long form mag pieces, then long form stuff on the site, you know,
all the interviews, all the conversations. Dude, you've like gone places that you probably don't even know that you've been. You know, like you've talked to people that you have no recollection
There are tons of interviews that I've done that I was like looking through some old folders yesterday looking for a file, and I'm like, if I hadn't seen these, I would have never remembered these conversations ever happened. You know, it is like, I think your memory just hits a point where it's like, I got too much stuff and I'm going to start shedding things. And fortunately for me, my mind sheds like valued memories from, you know, hard professional achievements instead of like random trivia about 90s sitcoms. Like, it's keeping the wrong stuff, you know? It's keeping stuff that serves me and well, it only serves me.
It serves you sometimes.
Occasionally. But talking about, you know, skills that can serve a need. Can I pivot real quick and talk about something that a stark revelation I had recently?
Please.
Yes, please tell us.
Do you guys ever watch those shows like Alone is one of them, or like, you know, like Naked and Afraid, or all these stories where they take like a normal person and put them in some sort of survival, you know, situation in the wilderness, right? Like it's a whole genre right now. It's just watching other people suffer. And every time I watch one of them, I'm like, you know what? I think I'd be just fine. Like, I think I'd be all right out there. I could, first couple days, make stick shelter, kind of lay low, you know, eat some berries, mushrooms, ride this thing out. That would be, I wouldn't
avoid
put a lot
the
of
mushrooms.
Effort.
Avoid the mushrooms.
No. I'll figure it out. I'll ride it out.
Jesse, over the years, Jesse has made some very passionate cases that he would be the winner of Survivor. Like
easily. I think I would just glide through the competition. Yeah.
He'd be friends with everybody. So he's going through all the different alliances and stuff.
Yep.
And,
yeah, I would transcend alliances. And then when it comes down to it, I'm just going to win that immunity idol. Take no prisoners. Yeah. But so we have like a little fire pit in our backyard, right? And it's getting cool, and be like, dude, it'd be really fun to do a fire, you know? And so I was like, all right, well, I know where I can get firewood, right? Like at 7-Eleven, of course. They have firewood right outside. So I go to like 3 7-Elevens. There's no firewood. And
Jesse, first of all, I thought I have a fire pit because of you. You told me to get a fire pit when I moved into this house.
Yeah.
And I was going to get just one of those cauldrons to put wood in. And you're like, dude, it's going to change your life. You got to get a propane one. Get a gas fire pit.
It broke.
The gas one broke. I was like, I'm living the click, click, and now I have a fire going life because of you. And you're sitting here talking about
old one broke. And so I got this wood one, which is a tremendous amount of work. And so anyway, long story short, I can't just buy firewood. So I'm driving back and a neighbor has just cut down a tree and is chainsawing it up. And I'm like, dude, can I get some of these pieces of wood?
That's
so
wet wood though.
Yeah, well, the problem also is it wasn't split, okay? Right. It's like this big stump. And I was like, well, how hard could this possibly be? I've never split wood before. But again, if I'm left to my own devices out in the wild, I think I can survive. How hard could it be? I have an axe. I don't know that I've ever used it. And I think it came with the house. I think it was just in the shed.
It was in the shed.
Behind the pool toys.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, the previous owner left us an axe. Because I've never recalled purchasing an axe. I'm almost certain. And I've never walked into the store and been like, I need that axe right there.
Yeah.
You know,
So
I'm pretty sure I never purchased it. And I think I would have remembered if someone gifted me an axe. Like, that's a very weird thing. Like, like the wrapping paper just shaped like an axe with a bow on it. Oh, cool. An axe. What a great gift. So anyway, so I'm like, well, there is an axe here. How hard could this be? If you've never tried splitting wood before, it is the hardest task. Because I didn't even know where to hit it. I'm like, am I just hitting right down the middle? It took so long to split like one piece of wood for a 15-minute fire. Like, I mean, I'm like ice in my back. It's like, okay, I came to a realization. I'm dead. I'm a dead man on those shows. Literally dead.
You won't make it.
Like, not only am I tapping out for the producers, I probably won't make it the first night. Like, I can't even split wood if it's not purchased for me from 7-Eleven.
They don't have axes and stuff on those shows. You're good at getting crafty. You're not good at skilled labor. You're good at, you know, kind of just winging it. And that's it's a skill you got to have, man. I think you'd be fine.
Up until it came down to do anything useful, like make a fire. Then it's like, guys, hey, we're screwed here. Who's got the sat phone? Call the producers in. Let's get them out. There's no way we're starting a fire. It's freaking impossible.
Yeah, I don't think you would be good at finding food either.
Foraging for food. Yeah, like, hey guys, good news. Another batch of leaf soup over here. Cold. It just leaves in cold water.
Because we don't have a fire.
Unfortunately, yeah, this is actually not bad if you can boil it. But as you know, the fire's off the table. So it's not leaf soup. It's just wet leaves. And that's what's for dinner. So stop complaining, everyone. Roll the dice with that mushroom. Oh. See what happens.
All right, we have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we have the band We the Kingdom, a Nashville band. They're joining us. And we have an interesting, you know, normally we've been doing the hot list on the Friday show, telling you what's happening this week. And we told you last week that we're transitioning it to link up with our new Relevant News videos that we've been putting out. And so we have the first Relevant News section, but Tyler's not here. He's on vacation today. So bad timing on our part. So we're going to do Relevant News, but we're going to be a little bit different than normal. So stay tuned. It's up next.
I just want to focus on my goal. Yeah. Cause now I'm opening up, but I ain't on so many things. What's going to hold me up? Wanted to rock the vault when I was growing up. Now they hit the re-rock. Now they slow me up. I just want to get to the ballot. I just want to feel like I'm valid. Put in my vote, I can have it. But that shouldn't feel like magic. It's the best way to make my voice heard, and that should be automatic. That's my American right. I'm flexing my right if I got it.
You're listening to Jhené Aiko. The song is Vote. Very timely message. But today's show is brought to you by BetterHelp. Is something preventing you from experiencing peace or achieving your goals? With the heaviness of all that's happening in the world right now, it can be difficult to find peace and purpose, and that's why there's BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You connect in a safe and private online environment, and you can start communicating in just 24 hours. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, and you can message your counselor anytime. To top it all off, BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. We want you to start living a happier life today. As a Relevant podcast listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/relevant. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/relevant. All right. So normally this is where we would do the hot list. Next week, we will be introducing our new Relevant News with an all new little jingle. It's not dirty sounding. It's great. I've heard it. I'm very inspired by it. But because this is neither nor, I didn't want to waste the jingle on y'all.
Yeah.
So this week, nice. I'm just going to bring you guys a few things that we've been coming at Relevant this week. I'm going to pretend to be Tyler Huckabee right now.
So you're not. So this week, it's not hot. It's not the hot list like it was. It's not like this. More kind of a interesting lukewarm list.
It's more hot, of a hot.
Yeah.
It's more of a cold bowl of tea water or leaf water.
Leaf water.
Yeah. Now we got a few interesting items that we've been covering. These are stories that have been blown up on the site over the last couple of days. We had a story talking about what's happening to the Chinese church. So, you know, there's the underground church, which is exploding, but there's also, a lot of people don't realize, some sanctioned, approved, government approved Christian churches in China. You know, I think the MO everybody thinks is smuggling Bibles and whatever, but there is actually an approved thing. Now they censor it. They censor the hymn books. They're very involved. Well, a story leaked this week. Obviously, it had to be anonymously reported. A story leaked this week that we picked up on, that in many regions of China, the Chinese government is removing crosses from the buildings where the sanctioned churches are meeting. A couple of months ago in the city of Linyi, which is in the Shandong province, the municipal government, it's called the United Front Work Department, convened area pastors to tell them that their crosses would be removed because, as one official stated at the meeting, quote, there were too many Christians in Linyi. And if any of the pastors protested at the meeting to the plan to remove the crosses from their buildings, the pastors were warned that their churches would be leveled to the ground.
Dang,
a couple of weeks later, they started removing all of the crosses. And we have photos, and photos have leaked of the before and after of these buildings, where there's a big cross and then it is gone. I mean, it's just gone. So there's no indication that Christians meet here anymore. As the demolitions were happening, onlookers gathered, and a Lin Yi official reportedly said to the onlookers, quote, crosses must be removed from all churches because Christianity does not belong in China. Wow. In another district in the city of Zhuangjiang in the Zhang'ai province, those officials ordered their 70 affiliated churches in that area to remove the cross symbol and the Chinese characters for Christianity from the official seals of the churches, like on their signs, mm-hmm. and replace those symbols with the Communist Party's five-pointed star. So they are doing a whitewashing of the official churches in China as a deliberate effort to stop the growth and spread of the faith, which is growing there more quickly than almost anywhere in the world. So it's really interesting. We ran this week because it was an interesting look at actual Christian persecution, yeah. unlike much of the quote unquote persecution happening to Christians in the US. So
yeah, it's a good reminder. It's persecution versus persecution complex. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I mean, there's a lot of Christians who operate under, you know, the assumptions that they're going to face persecution for their faith. And when they never actually do, you know, there seems to be some contingency that developed this persecution complex where they look for evidence of, you know, people persecuting from their faith when there is none, you know, and then, you know, all that does to your point, Cameron, is take away attention for actual, you know, this isn't just, you know, religious persecution. This is, you know, a terrifying authoritarian government, you know, dictating what people, not just what people can believe, you know what I mean? Like, it's not just dictating whether you can claim to be a part of a group. It's what information you ultimately even have access mm-hmm. to. You know, there's been stories of them, you know, editing, you know, Bibles mm-hmm. and,
well, I mean, to that point, one of the pastors in Xinjiang said, quote, all official churches were ordered to replace their seals so that believers accept the party as the main leader and follow only it. One of the parishioners at that church said the state is removing crosses, alters church seals, and censors hymn books. What's next? This is a disguised way to eradicate our faith.
Wow.
So I have a question. Cameron, you said that we have like people, the underground church who are like, you know, having church and following Jesus in secret for fear of what we're seeing here. But this has been allowed and available. So do you think, I'm asking you guys all, do you think this will just move more people? Obviously, it seems like the answer is yes, to take their faith underground, and they won't, we won't see churches anymore because they're not going to say yes to going along with this. Is that, that's what this is, where this is going.
It has to be, right? Yeah. I mean, but think about when Christianity has most thrived. Mm-hmm. In fact, our conversation with Rick Warren last week, he talked about this. We ran the full thing on unedited. And he talked about, you know, pandemic and things like that. He said historically over the last 2000 years, the times Christianity has spread the most mm-hmm. is when it was most squashed and most persecuted. Mm-hmm. And so therefore what's happening in China is just proof positive of that. I agree with you. I think it'll probably just mean less official, mm-hmm. visible expressions of Christianity, but it'll probably thrive even more than it is now.
This is a huge problem in China with, you know, not only with, you know, Christians too. I mean, you look at, you know, there's the Uyghur community there, there's Muslim communities there as well. You know, that in some of these communities, people are sent to re-education camps. And, right. and when you hear stories out of there about, you know, the Daily, the New York Times podcast did a couple episode series a while ago about, you know, people who have made it out of these kind of re-education camps, or people who have family members that are basically abducted, mm-hmm. brought to these re-education camps, and they literally have to go through classes to indoctrinate them about, you know, putting government over religious beliefs, you know, and some of the, even just the how much power the Chinese government has, you know, when these people are corresponding on the phone, when they're released from the re-education camps, you know, they can tell that there's someone else, the government official, listening to make sure these people are saying the right things. I mean, it's Orwellian and terrifying about what they can do and get away with.
Yeah. This next thing transitions to kind of what's happening with pandemic and, you know, kind of church and religious persecution, which is a big hot point in America. We did a Relevant News video this week that Tyler actually did a couple of days ago, kind of telling the story of kind of how different major churches are responding to COVID. The story came out last week that at Bethel Church in Redding, California, they had a COVID outbreak there among their staff and ministry school students. And so it just brought to light, you know, kind of that conversation again of like, as churches, more and more churches are reopening, how should we handle this right now? If you didn't see the Relevant News video, you can find it on our website, on our social, you should watch it. But that's something I wanted to highlight. The piece had two clips, one from a pastor, major pastor, John MacArthur, who has very famously, and we've been reporting it, you know, kind of been meeting in defiance of his local regulations, saying that he'll go to jail for the faith. He issued a statement this week, a video advocating other pastors to reopen. Who cares about the law? Who cares what? This is no big deal. Reopen your churches. Stop being scared. I wanted to play a clip that we ran on Relevant News of what John MacArthur has been saying.
You have a 99.999 chance to survive COVID. It's just not what they're saying it is. That absolutely does not warrant shutting down anything, but especially absurdly and arbitrarily, churches that have a special protection from the Constitution. Oh, and at the same time, leaving open abortion clinics, strip clubs, and marijuana dispensaries.
So there's one perspective. I also wanted to highlight part of our conversation with Rick Warren last week, where I asked him how they were doing at Saddleback. And actually, if you listen to the full interview, which was on unedited, he probably spent 20 or 30 minutes talking about all the things that's happening there at Saddleback. He said, honestly, you know, I get it that churches that are only have one mission, which is corporate worship, I get that they're suffering right now. But if your church has a broader mission than that, which is like serving others and community and da da da, like we actually haven't seen any negative effect. He said, we've seen more souls coming to Christ during this season. We've seen the church has grown during this season in significant ways. They've done more outreach in this season and a lot more things. It's an interesting model, but he still isn't having in-person services and doesn't plan to anytime soon. Here's what he said about why.
This is a safety issue. It's mm-hmm. If we were the only ones closed, no, nobody's going to NFL games.
Right.
Okay. Regal just closed down 650 theaters permanently. Mm-hmm. Disney just laid off 28,000 people last week.
Yep.
We're not being discriminated against. And some people are willing, some churches are willing to gamble the health of their people. I'm not.
Good.
The good shepherd prays for sheep, cares for sheep. One day I will be responsible. I don't want to be a super spreader. I'm not afraid. I'm not doing this out of fear. I'm doing this out of love.
Yeah.
And you wear a mask for love your neighbors yourself.
He went on from there, but that would be the other side of the conversation.
because pastors who are like, I'm being persecuted for my faith. We need to stand up for faith. You're not being persecuted for your faith. No one cares about what you believe. People care that you're violating public health policy by holding mass gatherings. They don't care. No one's persecuting anyone because of their belief system.
Here's the question for me. The question is this. All right, let's rewind. Maybe what, 3-4 months when people were protesting legally and, you know, they're protesting the death of African-Americans who have been killed by police and things of that nature. And the biggest response from this community, especially the super ultra conservative, is that you are to respect authorities because they are sent from God. Like, so therefore, the Breonna Taylors, the George Floyds, et cetera, because they just didn't comply, they got what they deserved, and that we all should seek to follow our leaders. So which one is it? Are they sent from God when I agree with them and not sent from God when I disagree? Or is it they sent from God and I'm supposed to listen at all times? I need to know. For my sanity.
So if you want to, if you're saying we got to listen to our leaders, it's only when we like what they're saying.
Yeah, that's the question. Is it okay? I like what this leader is saying, or is it just certain leaders? So is it I always listen to the president and never listen to, like, what's the criteria for that? Because right now you're breaking the governor's law, right? You're breaking your local community's law. And if the police were to come, you're like, yo, I'm going to die. Like, I'm going to go to jail for this. Like, in my mind, I'm like, where did the comply? Where did that go? Yeah. Because the leaders are from God. Yeah. Where did that go? Yeah. And if you disobey your leaders, you're disobeying God. That's literally what a lot of that same community would say. So that doesn't make sense.
Tough thing for me too is what this message is saying to non-Christians.
Sheesh.
You know, they're like, we're just selfish and unwise and don't care about the greater good or other people's health. And so we selfishly are going to gather because we want to. And you can't tell us what to do. I mean, it's like, what happened to being a good citizen?
And not only that, I mean, even, you know, for so long, particularly evangelicals have made, you know, the issue of abortion under the guise of being pro-life one of their like stakeholding political positions. And you just heard John MacArthur say, well, you know, according to him, I think that we're learning more and more about the, you know, coronavirus and, you know, the results of the pandemic. But, you know, when he says how callously he's able to say, well, you know, it has a 99.9% survival rate. Well, hey, there's almost 350 million people in this country. So if everybody got it, it's only just under a million people will die. A million people. Mm. We've already 200,000 have already died. Mm-hmm. Like, how can you seriously consider yourself pro-life if you're so willing to casually say, hey, that 0.1% that dies, at least we've got to go to men's group, the church luncheon still happened. It's only a couple people died. And it's like, you can't, it highlights the same, it's a different hypocrisy, but the same comfort level with hypocrisy that Derek's talking about. It's, hey, I want to be pro-life when it's convenient, or I want to say comply with the government when it's convenient. But if I don't like it, then I'll throw that value out the window. And it's this ability for these Christian leaders just to be two-faced. It's so frustrating sometimes to watch, you know?
I think too, with something like this, is you have to look at every government official in your state or your mayor. There's different rules per where you live. I mean, there's different about who can gather, who cannot gather, how many people you can have, all those things. And so, like, I know our church is gathering outside with mask on. So, like, that's what they're doing, is like, you can't go indoors and you have to have a mask on and you need to kind of be spread apart a little bit. And I can tell you from just my husband being on staff at a church is that whatever you do, whether you say we're going to gather, which if the government officials say you shouldn't because you're breaking the law. So that's just a moot point. But if you're in a place that says you can gather, there's going to be people who are like, y'all are the worst people in the world because you're gathering. If you don't gather, there's people that are coming at you going, y'all are the worst people in the world because you're not gathering. And so I think that it's a responsibility of a church leader to look at what is my city saying that we can and cannot do, right? Like, what are they saying that we can and cannot do? And then taking the best extremes that you can take care of your people. Just like Rick Warren said, it's because I love my people. All I'm saying is it's a difficult thing. I don't think you should break government laws by any means. But if you live in a city like mine where they're like, hey, you can gather outside with mask on, that's what we're choosing to do as a church. And that's what it is, you know?
I think that's amazing, Jamie. I'm like, that's different. What you're saying is I'm following every guideline that
every
my
guideline.
City, state, and country are allowing me to follow. And I believe we are doing our best to also serve in the sense of worship, but then also in the same sense, also make sure that we're taking care of the most vulnerable in our community. Yeah. Like that, I think that's honorable, you know, but to say I'm doing this in defiance of government.
Come take me to jail and all that.
That's hypocritical. Yeah. It's either the government is sent from God and we're supposed to follow it to the T. Because that's what I'm told when I see a black dude get shot 6 times in the back getting in his car, is that he should have complied. Right. If you wouldn't have complied, he'd be alive. You know, not, hey, you know, this guy, like, so I guess that's the thing. I'm like, well, which one is it? Is it comply or die? So if someone goes into John MacArthur's church and shoots him dead because he's not complying to COVID rules, is that justice? Because that's what those people say is justice when it comes to us. Like, so, like, I guess that's the crazy part about the whole thing. It's just the crazy level of hypocrisy. I'm like, man, I love consistent people. Like, the thing about it is Cameron Strang is consistently an Orlando Magic fan.
Without fail.
He's never not an Orlando Magic fan.
Come hell or high water.
I've never not seen him not be an Orlando Magic fan. And that's why I know what his basketball takes. I take them serious because he's consistent. I don't take John MacArthur serious. I can't take you serious because one minute the Bible means this, and the next minute it means something else. And it's all based usually on your preferences. I can't take that. It's not even a thing that's like good or bad. It's like, why even take it serious? Like,
the thing that Rick has taught me over the years is that he has a consistent ethic. He is pro-life, holistically pro-life. He calls it whole life, from womb to tomb. And the Bible talks about living your life selflessly for others, for the good of others. And living an example of humility, of contrition, the last shall be first, and things like that. And that it's not about power. It's not about being right, you know? And Rick lives that out, man. Like behind the scenes and from the pulpit, he's consistent in that ethic. And what he said that was so powerful to me was what Jamie tapped into was he said, I'm not taking this cautious approach out of fear, but I'm doing it out of love. And that to me is like, isn't that how the church should be modeling our actions? That we should be known for our love, that we should be known for caring for the most vulnerable, not power and my right to do what I want to do. I don't care about the vulnerable. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just such a weird time in the church world right now, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's important that we don't ignore it and that we talk about it, we wrestle with it, and we don't let us go the wrong direction. Us being the big C church, you know, like we need to fight for what the Bible talked about, what Jesus talked about.
Because listen, when you think about it, this story just followed a story about churches in China who are having to say they agree with the government and not with Jesus, or they're having to take down their crosses, or having to lose their ability to worship. And so when you put those side by side, it's like, okay, come on, people, like, come on.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, let me say this too. I haven't been hating the Zoom church thing, to be honest with you.
Are you still watching? Look, like, you're still there every Sunday?
Yeah. We virtual. I mean, most, you know.
The only thing I miss is worship. Like, I hate TV worship, man.
Yeah.
It's like,
TV worship is bad.
It's like, what am I supposed to do here? Just watch quietly? I ain't singing by myself.
But at least on the TV worship, like, the mix is good. Some of these, like, the virtual one I go to, I'm like, hey, man, I think, I don't know what's coming out of the board, but what's coming through Zoom right now, that backup singer's really hot. Those vocals are really hot. And I'm not going to lie, all I hear is the backup vocals. And I don't know if you can hear yourself, judging from how it sounds right. Yeah. But the thing about the Zoom church thing, man, is or the live stream. Hey, look, Sunday mornings, you feel, I don't know about you, but in my house, if everyone's out the door and we're only going to be 10 minutes late, we're only missing the first two songs. Like, we did pretty good this week. Like, hey, we're not going to have to slide in, you know, at the time where they dismiss the children. There's all that chaos in the sanctuary and you can slide in. No, I was here. You saved my seat. Yeah, I've been here the whole time, of course. You know, the Zoom church, you can literally watch it in bed. You know, I can have the computer under my covers if I want while watching it.
Your church is a, kids are there for the worship, and then at the end of worship, they dismiss the kids to go to kids' church.
Yeah.
My church growing up was like that.
Yeah.
It was like, I liked walking out, you know what I mean? Like going to kids' church. Well, like, it was like, you know, everybody looking at you. And
That they bring them up on the stage to pray for them before the release. So like, all the kids come up, you know, while the offering is happening or whatever, and the kids are up there and the pastor prays for them before they go to the Sunday school. I have never seen such pride in my son's eyes sitting up on the church stage, just looking back at the audience like, that's right. That's right.
I'm on stage.
I will be dismissed soon to do something fun while you guys have to sit through a sermon. We're in there making, you know, paper cutouts of the Ten Commandments. It's pretty cool, you know?
All right. Lastly, I'm bringing something specifically for Derek because he's a big Kanye fan.
Hey.
Now, if you've been following the Kanye saga, we talked about it a couple months ago. We'd stop talking about it because it was not fun, right? It was kind of sad. We didn't want to make light of he seemed to be going through a tough time. If you've been following him on social media over the last month or so, seems like, and I say this, you know, sensitively, seems like he's in a good place. Like,
right.
Posting family photos. He's happy. It seems like things are on the right direction. And so it's interesting that in this season, just this week, a couple of days ago, he dropped two new things on social media. First of all, he dropped a new song. We'll play a clip here in a second. But he also on Instagram dropped a campaign video. Now, I was skeptical because I was like, man, is he still running for president? Like, is he really doing this seriously? But if you watch it, I think obviously he knows he's not going to win, right? I think he's not actually trying to win anything. I think what he's trying to do is use this as an opportunity to get his message out. And if you watch it through that lens, that he's just kind of shifting modes to like trying to advocate toward change in a positive direction for America. It's interesting. Here's a clip of Kanye West's campaign commercial that he dropped this week.
America, what is America's destiny? What is best for our nation, our people? What is just, true justice? We have to think about all these things together as a people. To contemplate our future, to live up to our dream, we must have vision. We as a people will revive our nation's commitment to faith, to what our Constitution calls the free exercise of religion, including, of course, prayer. Through prayer, faith can be restored. We as a people are called to a greater purpose than ourselves. We are not only a beacon to the world, but we should be servants to each other, to encourage each other, to help each other, to lift up each other, our fellow Americans, that we may all prosper together.
It goes on. It's about 2 minutes long. It's worth checking out.
That's
we
good.
Have it at relevantmagazine.com. Yeah. Exactly. It's even
like,
what
I'm
we were just
this.
Talking about. It's about being a beacon and lifting each other up, yeah. right? I mean, that's...
I want
Amazing.
More campaign ads like this, not like the Parks Rec. Bobby Newport says, the campaign's
taking all your money the day
Bobby
after the
Newport
election.
Bobby Newport wants to take all your candy and your money. Are you voting for Bobby Newport? Yeah, the campaigns by me have gotten so desperate. Like, their attack ads have nothing left to attack, so they're just attacking other attack ads. Like, there's literally one and they're like I've seen it so many times for like local news or YouTube, you know, getting geo targeted for YouTube ads, and this is the only scandal they have left. They're like, have you seen Elaine Lawyer's new slick ad? Looks like she's spending all her time on Hollywood style ads when she should be governing for you. Check out this slick ad. And you're like, the only thing we're attacking is that their ads are too good. It's like the only thing left to attack is the quality, which isn't bad, so we got to attack how good it is. Give me more of these Kanye ads because these are
inspired.
Getting insane.
Yeah, go
that
back.
That was so good.
Yeah. It's worth watching the whole thing. Honestly, that's the thing is like he's trying to inspire America. Like, we're better than this. I loved what he said. Like, we should be a beacon and be known for our service to others and lifting others up. It's just
that's
what we
Christians.
Were talking about. Exactly.
That's what we should be known for.
That's my guy. I love Kanye.
And so right after that, on I think it was Tuesday night, he also dropped a new song. It's the first new song that he's dropped since in June when he did Wash Us in the Blood with Travis Scott. It's called Na Na Na. In the song, he raps about his presidential run. He mentions his appearance on Nick Cannon's podcast, which went viral. And his public contract dispute with Universal Music Group, which he's been tweeting about quite a bit. Here's a clip of Na Na Na.
Next time you text, can it wait? You were talking to a presidential candidate. I know you think Obi's one getting tired now. Don't jump, Anakin, I got the higher ground.
I'm the high ground.
I'ma hit the moon, walk like I seen Tito. Man, if I'm a song like President Gavito. Got the sign up for the veto, eh? I don't need to sign a release. I'm a freedom, man. This is the video game. This is a simulation.
He set the song to footage of Star Wars and a UFC knockout from a couple weeks ago. So he tweeted that out, and we have it at relevantmagazine.com. You should go check it out. It's pretty good. What do you think, Derek?
It's cool.
You don't like it?
It's all right. It's all right.
You don't like it. Did Derek you like
watch
like
this? Did you like Watch This in the Blood?
I thought Watch This in the Blood was cool. I thought it was really good. It's better than this, for sure.
Yeah.
It was better than this. He's your boy, right?
I love Kanye. I'm waiting on him to put it together. He always does.
To put his life together or put his music together?
The music. If he can do the music to match where the message is going, I'm gonna get Kanye tatted on my right butt cheek. So, but it's just like we're just waiting on the music.
Face or his name on your right butt cheek?
Oh, a whole portrait. Oh, wow.
Yeah, his face or just his name.
What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna get the face with the glasses with the shades in them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'll just get that one on my right butt cheek. So
that's Kanye what said. Do. He said back in June that in July he would release his new album Donda. Date came and went. I believe it was the same day that Taylor Swift released her album. Kanye just didn't do it.
Don't worry about
it. We'll see what happens.
That's kind of a pattern with them in releasing music. Release dates tend to come and go with albums or partial albums not being released or being released and kind of, it was like the life of Pablo. It was essentially like a living album because he kept modifying it. Yeah. Yeah.
I think he does it on purpose too. Cause I think every time you miss a release date of someone that big, it builds up anticipation for the next one.
Yeah.
But Life of Pablo, he missed it and then released it on Tidal and then wasn't happy that most people couldn't hear it. So then he pulled it and then he put it out on Spotify. I mean, just like, it was such a messy rollout.
Yeah.
It did not look planned. Like I'm building anticipation. It was just, nobody could hear it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was a mess. Oh, well. All right. Well, that'll do it for our whatever that was.
Good job, Cameron.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
It was great, bro. Yeah, you did a good job. I mean, it's not good as Tyler, but you did a good job.
Stay tuned. I'm next. We the Kingdom joins us.
University's Truett Seminary, kingdom-minded women and men are equipped to follow their callings. Classes at Truett are offered both in person and online. While committed to the formation and community provided by residential education, Truett also offers opportunities to make a seminary education more accessible. Wherever you are and wherever your calling may take you, Truett Seminary will help prepare you for the journey. Learn more at Baylor.edu/Truett.
Selfish, you preserve your image when I'm out. It's noted, you don't act like you want me around you. Holla, don't you dare go holler on me now. Holla, don't you dare go holler on me. Try to be so cool up to your friends, but I'm just too good. Forgot my worth, but it's not worth it, cause I make 2-3 times of racks a yearly basis. So I'm just too cool for you, I wish you never.
You're listening to Victor Internet. The song is Hollow. Well, We the Kingdom is a Christian band from Nashville, Tennessee. They've gotten over 126 million streams to date, and their breakout song, Holy Water, spent several consecutive weeks at number one on the Billboard Christian AC chart. Their music is kind of a mixture of a worship band and a pop band. It's really good stuff. Our very own Tyler Huckabee recently sat down with the whole band to talk about the tension of being creative in a community and how sometimes that tension leads to artistic breakthroughs. Here is part of our conversation with We the Kingdom.
For God so loved the world that he gave us. His one and only son to save us. He
Okay, so first up, obviously, this pandemic is sort of hard for all of us in different ways, but I think it's extra hard for musicians right now. Tell me about the process of releasing a new album during Rona season.
We have found that there are all kinds of emotions for us going into releasing a record right now. We were on tour, just like everybody else, and you know, got the plug pulled out. And so we came home, and we were supposed to be making our record while we were on the road, which is doable, but really chaotic at the same time, you know, to try to go play every night and, you know, wake up and record as much as you can, kind of hamster on a wheel, and then you go right back to shows and whatever. So for us, as far as our record was concerned, it was a real blessing in disguise to get to come home from tour and hunker down for a few months and quarantine together and make a record, you know. So I think that we made a very different album than we would have made had we been on tour. And I think we would all say that we made a much better record than we would have made on tour because of a couple reasons. One, we were able to focus really, you know, pointedly on it. But at the same time, man, we were wrestling with this massive emotional weight of this global crisis and global trauma that, you know, trickled down from 7 billion people to every single individual. And I think we had to, as we were making this record, come to terms with how do we feel about what's happening in the world and how do we feel about it individually and collectively.
Glad that you all have been able to focus so much on hopeful songs, but I feel like that's kind of tough right now too, because an honest assessment of the world is that there's a lot of things to be genuinely concerned about and kind of scared about. How do you all balance the tension of staying hopeful while still understanding that a lot of people are justifiably afraid right now?
Typically when we think of songs of hope, you know, it's like you were saying, the positivity and, you know, where we typically want to be, but we're not there yet. It's like where we're trying to go. But I think, man, what we're learning in songwriting is like when we write honest songs, that actually is hopeful because it not only tells us, but hopefully our listeners, that like what you're going through is not only normal, but like completely okay. And it's not like a negative thing, you know? And I think just knowing that gives you hope that like, okay, where I am is where I'm supposed to be, versus like putting this stress and pressure on like, I gotta get to where I'm trying to go. Does that make sense? Which I feel like a lot of the times we do, which isn't necessarily a bad thing because it's motivating, you know. It's like, I'm singing about this one thing that I don't feel, but I really want to feel it, so it motivates me to get there. But I think there's also value to singing about where you are that gives you hope, just in the sense of like, it's okay to be where I am, and that gives me hope.
Think family band situations are interesting, and I'm sure that makes for a lot of good times, but I would guess it makes for some tough times too. Tell me the dynamic of making music as a family.
Because we're all family and we've been through so much together, it feels like there's no hiding, which can be a good thing and a bad thing, where we're just so honest with each other. Like, there's just every hard thing we go through, we talk about it, or, you know, just, I don't know, like talk about our painful experiences. We're not afraid to like let our guard down if we're in a bad mood, you know, which is such a beautiful thing, to be honest. And it can also make for feeling like very unprofessional, you know, which is good. I mean, we're family, we shouldn't be super professional, but it is different than when I'm writing or making music with other people, where I'm like, oh, I've never met you before. Like, here's my, you know,
the first 5% of Franny, the nice girl. Yeah, and then with them, I'm like, oh, it's funny, but it does makes for very intimate music, because everything is very raw, you know, and it's cool how sometimes I'll go into co-write with people I don't know, and it just feels less personal, you know, and it's great and it's awesome and it works, but it's just less personal. And then with them, it's like we've talked about everything that we're writing about. So it makes for a really cool and unique writing and recording experience. And even playing live, like when I've sung with other people, you kind of like fake it. Like you go over and then sing with them and be like, hey, you're right there, you know, I'm singing you. And then with them, it's like, oh, that's my brother. Like we've been through so much together. So I like look at him and we'll like tear up, you know, just stuff like that. It's like, it's so much more, I guess I just say real, you know, and I don't know. It's really cool. It's very different from anything I've ever experienced.
Any songs on the album you're particularly proud of? Anything that was extra difficult for you all to work on?
So there's a song called Cages on the record, and I think that its story is, you know, similar to the journeys of other songs at times. I mean, man, sometimes song like Holy Water came quick, you know, it just kind of happened. It hit us in the face, and other songs you have to really strive for. We've seen the faithfulness of God as we've walked through our journeys together, and so I think our songs reveal that, you know, they reveal that we have friction between us, and we have friction, you know, that we meet sometime in the world. And Cages was a song that took us forever to write, but I love that it is a song that took a long while to come to fruition, because it's all about being willing to be vulnerable and to rip off the masks that we wear, you know. I just love that songwriting really, and songs in general, are either masks that we can put on to hide the real truth of what's going on in our hearts, you know, or they're masks we can rip off. And we want to write songs that are masks being ripped off, so that we can be candid and honest. And I think, you know, we're seeing that in the friction of writing songs. We're seeing that happen. So.
Obviously an unusual album cycle. What are your plans for the rest of 2020?
You know, maybe write some more songs, produce some more songs for the future, and kind of just see what comes. I think it's a hard space because I was talking about this the other day. For me, a lot of times you get worth on your future. You're looking ahead and saying, okay, I'm heading for this goal. I feel worth as a human because I have these things I'm pouring into, these things I'm doing. And so it's a good time to, you know, set our roots in the Lord and each other, build our relationships and kind of see what the future holds, you know, pray for the spring at least to it to happen or something.
I think one thing that we have the opportunity now to do is to like do a deep soul dive, you know, so that whenever we can go back out and tour, we can be healthy as we do it, you know, as individuals and as a band. I think that this is a season for health, to figure out, you know, for heart health, to figure out how, okay, when we're on the road, how can we love one another well? How can we love ourselves well? How can we love our families well and all that stuff?
Is We the Kingdom. Check out their new song, God So Loved, wherever you get your music.
I'm Jamie Grace, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about my new book, Finding Quiet. This book started out as my personal journey and diary and evolved into a journey where you and I tackle things like comparison, friendships, relationships, self-doubt, and so much more. We won't tiptoe around our insecurities, but instead we will face them head on as we press into tangible action steps toward knowing and living in freedom. You can purchase Finding Quiet now at jamiegrace.com, on Amazon, or wherever you like to buy your books. I hope you enjoy it.
I think you look good. You're listening to Chet Faker. The song is Low. Love these names. Well, many thanks to We The Kingdom for joining us. You can follow them online at We The Kingdom on all the platforms. And while you're online, hey, I want to tell you about something over at relevantmagazine.com. This week, we're actually launching a couple of cool new newsletters. Now, I know we all don't want to get more emails, but we have created a couple of newsletters that I think you're going to like. Number one, we are going to be offering a daily newsletter of a curated selection of the five most popular headlines at relevantmagazine.com that day. It'll keep you in the news. It's a quick browse. It'll keep you in the loop about what's going on, what's trending, what people are talking about. And it's just a quick in and out. No editorialization. Just here's the top five. There you go. Every day. You can get that email by signing up over at relevantmagazine.com. And in the God section, we are launching a daily devotional called Deeper Walk. Every weekday, we'll be posting a new devotional, morning devotional. And we also have a Deeper Walk newsletter. So I think it's 6 a.m. Eastern every weekday that gets sent out. So then when you wake up in the morning and you go to turn off the alarm on your phone and you hit that email button, boom, right at the top of your inbox is a little 3-minute devotional to start your day the right way. Go check it out. Deeper Walk and the new daily newsletters over at relevantmagazine.com. Okay, on that note, we'll wrap things up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Jamie Ivey.
I'm Derek Miner.
We will see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
For listening to The Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
Bobby Newport wants to take all your candy and your money.
Relevant Podcast Network.